Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and this week we've got our Round 16 waiver wire pickups, trade talk. We will be without the Statesman Skippers as he is crook in bed, come down with the flu. So no Statesman this week, but we do have Mr. Cam McLaughlin to come in, filling in with the injury report as well. But gents, what a round of football we had this week. It's like the AFL introduced their new rules and didn't tell anyone because we had some cracking matches of football this weekend, starting off with Richmond and Sydney, then carrying on to Friday night. And if you saw it, Essendon and North Melbourne just had an absolute genuine shootout. And I got to say, Harry Taylor, thank you very much. You made me one happy man on Friday night. But welcome to you, Steve, and how you doing?
I'm doing terribly. Terribly, Jonathan. It's horrible. Life is awful. It's been a bad week. It started off in terrible fashion with Mrs. Fizz's birthday. So I had to go through the horrible experience of buying your partner a gift, which, as anyone can attest, is terrible. It was doubled by the fact that she buys me routinely shit-ass gifts year after year, event after event. And it's... Well, I just wanted to pay her back, but you can't because then, you know, it's bad times.
I was going to say, did you get her that Batuta Advocate t-shirt that she always wanted?
We went through it. You can't get the fucking Batuta Advocate fucking t-shirt anymore, Jono. It's sold out. It's very sore.
We're going to start a petition on that and just get him just one. Just one little t-shirt.
Well, I could probably just print. She said, why don't you just print it yourself? I'm like, that's not the
copyright
same.
Copyright infringement.
Well, it's not the same. Yeah, just anyway, I got a Taylor Swift ticket, so as the poorest man in fantasy football, I'll look forward to paying them off for the next 7 years. And then, as it went on, just for all the new listeners out there, you might not be aware, but we actually go year-round. We don't stop putting out a pod every single week. We're that stupid. We're that insane about our fantasy footy. So I was building out the off-season show topics and going through all the stats and... Apparently there were some howler shows because some rated a lot higher than others, and it's just continued on. This weekend of fantasy football, I had Fife captain, cost me one league. I had Sandylands laid out, kill me in our home league, Jono. It's just been, I somehow miraculously beat the Statesman with one down with Gunston out, but it's only the Statesman who couldn't beat him. So just little victories, I guess, to get me through the week.
Well, I was playing the Statesman in our listener league, but couldn't beat him when you have Treloar and McRae out of your midfield. So
excuses.
Hey, but speaking of excuses, we know your Mrs. Fizz likes to buy tickets to things you don't want to go to. So why don't you buy WWE tickets for September this year? She would have loved them at the MCG.
Well, it's crossed my mind, Jono. But look, I'm just going to say this: I don't want to go full Barry Hall. In my comments on our podcast, okay? Let's just leave it at that.
Moving on. Fair enough. We'll get the dump button going in a second. But he might be a little bit salty. He is a Geelong supporter, but we do welcome him. It is the third brother from the McLaughlin brothers. That is Mr. Cam McLaughlin himself. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep, very salty. There is a lot of salt in and around my being at the moment. But, you know, you got to take the losses with the wins and give one to, you know, some of those guys struggling down the bottom sometimes, you know, just a little bit of a feeder. But, yes, as you were saying, I'm a late in for Mr. Statesman, who's apparently a bit sick with the flu. I too have the flu, but I'm just not as soft. So, and as far as late-ins go, you actually stole my line a little bit with the Barry Hall thing. I was just going to basically say that I hope I last longer than Barry Hall did on commentary, but might go with I hope I last longer than Lin Jong did on Friday night.
Boom.
Yeah, shocking one, that one. He just can't take a trick that bloke. Another broken collarbone on the same one he had a couple of years ago, so not too good at all. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and at STPorter15 as well. We have the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We have articles dropping each and every day, Monday to Friday, for your reading pleasure. But we're moving on now to the top five things we noticed for this week. And kicking us off, as always, is Stevie Fizz. Fire away, pal.
Well, what I'm noticing right now is the cat has got into my cupboard that's behind me, and it's just giving me the shits, just banging around in there. But anyway, we'll start off with Port Adelaide, because there was plenty to notice with Port Adelaide. For me, they were pretty consistent through the first half of the year, but they have so many mid-forwards just rotating through there now that Rockliffe has found his touch in the team. And I don't think they can't all score well all the time. Like, some of them are just going to score meh. But we know they've got a good string of matchups, so I think you're just going to have to take the good with the bad with your Greys, and your Wingard looks to be probably the highest ceiling of these guys. So Wines and Power Pepper and Rocky and all these guys. But DBJ was out, had a bit of a sleep in, and Pittard was injured during the match, and Dan Houston really seemed to pick up the points, took the kick-ins, got you the 93 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. If Pittard is missing time with another soft tissue, then maybe DBJ comes straight back in. I would expect that, but Cam can talk about that later. And Jack Trengo have got to play his first game in the Teal, playing a sort of wing half-backish role. Scored the 92 and 77 Supercoach. Real link-up play. Took a lot of marks. Playing some pretty ordinary opposition. Although, to be fair, Carlton didn't play that bad. They played pretty strong defensively. But he's actually an interesting add given the Powers draw, and we may well talk about him later. On the other side of the coin in that game, for Carlton, I'm not a big Jack Silvani fan, but I feel sorry for the guy. They've tried him in as the high half forward. In recent weeks, they've put him inside mid. This week, they've shifted him in defence, which, I've got to be honest, seems like a good move, but I might have let him do it in the VFL first. He doesn't win his own ball. He's not super fast, so maybe if he's behind the ball, he can read the play. Maybe that move works out. He didn't score particularly well in this match, but he got a knock pretty early. We'll see how that pans out, but maybe things aren't great for Jack Silvani. And if Cruiser misses time, with Carlton's soft draw and their soft ruck matchups over the next 8 weeks, Andrew Phillips is actually something of an option. So if you're in desperate need of a ruck, maybe Cruiser misses some extra time. I don't know. Probably doesn't look that way, but he certainly showed a bit. For Collingwood, man, Taylor Adams, he's scoring great, but the time on ground is just pathetic. It was 69%, which great number, but not great for your output. But he did turn up. And Braden Sire also rocked the 69%. Played pure mid. He was okay. He's a big boy. And it just makes me kind of wonder what their plan is with Jordan DeGoey. If they're going to bring along a guy like Braden Sire, maybe they feel DeGoey is more value as a forward with sort of short bursts through the midfield. So maybe that's going to sort of cap DeGoey's fantasy output, especially in your Dream Team formats going forward. So that's certainly something to consider if you're a Jordan DeGoey owner. We know he signed the big contract over the weekend, but I'll be monitoring how Braden Sire is going. For GWS, Josh Kelly was certainly tagged, and he still managed to get around the ton. Lobb played forward. They say they're going to work him back into the ruck, but he did kick three goals. Dawson Simpson was okay against Big Boy McAvoy, actually won the hitouts. So I'd be a bit cagey starting Lobb. He only played 67% game time, so that's exceptionally low if you're only playing forward. He might be playing with a bit of a niggle, so I'd certainly wouldn't be starting him over the next 3 weeks. I think they've actually got pretty tough matchups anyway, so that's something to look at. And yeah, that was sort of what I noticed this week.
Thanks for that. And what have you got for us there, Cam?
So the first one is no Darling, no JJK, no Lacroix, no chance. Basically, you come in to a game with those big outs, and you know, basically West Coast are pretty often beaten through the midfield in regards to their midfields producing an inside 50. So generally, their opposing team beats them, but they are a little bit more efficient with their conversion rate. So they get the lower rate inside 50, but then convert more chances. But without that entire forward line, you just can't expect them to be scoring as much as they used to. And so you have the run of Gaff and Hutchings and the likes, but they just don't get it in enough to give their second-rate forwards a chance at goal. And yeah, shout out to Gaff, who's basically untaggable on the outside and a scoring freak. So if you have him, you know, keep him locked in for the rest of the year. Number two is Dan Hand firing up? So he posted his second highest score of the year. It wasn't great, still just 76, but he did it on 74% game time. And I like the way that he went about it. So he actually got 5 tackles, 9 kicks, 11 handballs. I think that's showing that his, I guess, intensity around the ball is really, really, really building. It's not something that I'm going to assume he's going to get back to his tons, but with Luke Parker copping a little bit of an elbow niggle, his time on ground may increase over the next couple of weeks. Frio, just in general, were terrible this afternoon. They just got played and beaten all around the park. Fife, Sandy, both going down. Who do you look to actually drag you out of that rut? Neil? Well, then he just gets tagged out of the game as soon as he's the only one left. And so then who? Is it Ed Langdon, Mundy? I'm genuinely worried about the back half of their season. Their run home is, I think the next four is Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Bombers and Hawks. Not unwinnable games, but they just don't have a team to really put on the park to challenge, I don't think. Number four is Jake Stringer. So a couple of weeks ago while I was filling in for the Statesman, I gave him a massive rap and then he produced like 130 or something ridiculous. And today I'm going to go the opposite way and just say that even though he kicked 3 snags today, he looked deplorable. He just didn't want to be there. Genuinely, his effort around the ball was, he was lazy. So for me, I've got him, and I'm going to be dropping him to the waiver straight after that, because that's not the kind of player that I think is going to score big for the rest of the year. And coupling with that, the way he was getting his points wasn't the same as it was 2 weeks ago. He basically played stationary forward, with maybe one or two bursts in the midfield. So he's lost that accumulation through the mid. Finally, Tom Lynch. Say goodbye to the Gold Coast. So he's had some surgery through the week on his PCL, and I don't think we'll see him again in the Suns colours. He's probably off to a bigger and better club.
Well, better than the Gold Coast? That's
nothing's better than the Gold Coast.
Unfathomable.
It is really hard to believe, but I think he'll go somewhere better.
But the 5 things I've noticed throughout the week, Matty Crouch came out and said he's going to lead from the front and just absolutely tear West Coast a new one, and that's exactly what he did. Came up with a 32 possessions, 9 tackles, scoring quite well in both formats. And Sauce Jacobs seems to have turned the corner. He really put it to Lysette and Nick Nat on Saturday afternoon, won the headouts, scored quite well again, the 142 Supercoach, 108 AFL Fantasy. And so he looks to be back in it and to give the Crows a little bit of a sniff for the finals this year. The Dogs, they got their mojo back. Luke Beveridge, a couple of weeks ago, swung the magnets around, playing a few defenders forward and whatnot, but their pressure is right up there now and forced the Cats a lot of turnovers on Friday night and helped them get that win. What was a pretty good game. So, and they a lot of them starting to score quite well again once they do put that pressure. We saw Luke Dalhouse have his best game probably for the year, I'd imagine, fantasy-wise. So even though he'll probably be off to another club as a free agent next year, but good signs ahead there if you've got him for the rest of the year. In the Melbourne St Kilda game, Seb Ross was playing defence for
Sorry, just quickly on the Bulldogs. Do you think that, we've seen Marcus Adams come in and he's such a rock down in defence. Is it the pressure helping Marcus Adams, or is Marcus Adams, you know what I mean?
Well, I think got Morris and Adams there just shores up that back line where you don't have a lot of, like, your Ed Richards, your Norton, the inexperienced defenders just crapping themselves when that ball comes inside 50. You've got the cool, calm, collected guys who can help set up that back line and rebound it like we saw back in 2016. But just on the Saints and Melbourne game, Seb Ross was playing deep defence all game and didn't really play much midfield time. So I don't know if it was sort of a lockdown role, just playing the goalkeeper, basically. Just wasn't doing much, didn't get much time through the mid. So the first time I've noticed it this year. It'd be interesting to see what Alan Richardson does next week, but really affected Seb Ross's scores. Only scored in the 60s this week, to a lot of people's dismay on that one. Jack Viney, he played an absolute blinder last week, coming off his injury. Probably his best, it was his best game for the year, but then they play him as a tagger after dropping Bernie Vince, and just had no influence whatsoever. And I thought it was the wrong move, and one of the many moves that cost Melbourne the game this week. When you've got your premium midfielder playing as a tagging role, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No, just to comment on that as well. As soon as they released that tag, he just exploded. Like, he was the exact reason why Melbourne came back into the game as well. Just proved you exactly right there, Jono.
And Gary Ablett, my last point there. He looked, I'll call it, a little bit lazy on Friday night.
Oh, he was lazy as shit, man.
Yeah, just the instance of play, I think it's been replayed on many of the footy programs over the weekend. Basically, Toby McLean's run from defensive 50 straight past Ablett, picked up the pill and ran forward, and Donkey scored a goal. And Ablett's just, you know, like one of those people on the side of the marathon, just handing him a cup of water, and McLean picked it up and just kept going. But geez, there was no effort right there.
I had him captain in our home league, Jono, and there'd be a player like a meter away from him with the ball, and he'd just stand there and look at him and just be like, yeah,
cool.
It's like remember when Krusty bet on the against the Harlem Globetrotters? He's like, just take the ball.
He's spinning it on his finger.
It was exactly like that. There was one player you could see he actually had to chase the player, and he just threw his head down like he was so pissed off he had to do it before he took off. I'm like, that is just fantastic. That's how I want my guy playing football. You're perma-captain from now on, Gary. I love it.
Just park him forward. He'll still get his 30 possessions, but geez, yeah, it was just amazing to watch. But that is the five things for this week. We're moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use our 75% rule of ownership from Ultimate Footy. And kicking it off this week, I'm going to start. I can't believe he's actually my number one waiver, but that's David Armitage. In 64% of teams, he was coming off the back line as well as playing that inside mid. I don't know if that was due to Seb Ross playing in defence, but he still also went forward and was able to kick a goal. But he's looked pretty good the last couple of weeks, David Armitage. If his body can hold up, he can be pretty serviceable coming in towards the finals. Number two, Steve spoke about him, and that is Jack Trango for the Power in 29% of teams. I actually had him in our late week pickups, and Steve said exactly where I thought he would play. He'd be that half-back link-up player on the wing, and that's a pretty cushy fantasy-friendly role. If he can maintain his position in there, 29% of teams, and can score you quite well. More your AFL fantasy than your super coach, because he won't do the hard stuff, you would imagine. Sanderlands, he's gone down with a calf injury, if it is a bad one. Sean Darcy is in just 29% of leagues. He's playing in the waffle, kicked three goals, had around the 30 hitouts and 20 odd possessions. So look to get Sean Darcy if in need of a ruckman. Billy Gowers as well. Loving the way this guy's been going about his football. He's in 18% of teams. They're playing the Hawks this week. And one thing I've noticed about the Hawks is they can get found out with quick teams. And if the Bulldogs are moving the ball pretty quickly and getting it to Billy Gowers, who's their number one target inside forward 50, he can get on the end of a heap of marks and goals. And he's also pushing up the wing himself to get the ball. Chris Mayne, he's floating around in 68% of teams, had a ripping game against the Gold Coast Suns. They're up against Essendon this week in what should be an absolute ripper game, so both teams coming off pretty good wins. And just one to keep an eye out for, Cade Collard-Jasny. He's in 69% of teams. In the NEAFL, he ran through the midfield on the weekend, collecting 32 possessions and taking 14 marks. So, yeah, we know he's had his concussion issues, but he has been playing in the NEAFL for a few weeks and slowly building. So maybe he gets a run in the midfield next week with Stewie Jew picking him. But that's my waivers for this week. What have you got, Steve?
Man, I just... Kate, I just... What do you do, man? Like, I don't know. I've wanted to like him for so long after that second season, but he's just been bad and always dealing with the concussions and all that sort of thing. But got a completely different list to you, John. I've got to admit, I like your Armitage one. I think that's a banger. I'd probably put that on top. Maybe if I was in an AFL fantasy draft league, I would put my number one priority as Cam Guthrie. Only owned in 30% of teams. This is a midfielder, but he will get defensive status in the next batch of AFL fantasy ones if he continues this role. The ultimate footy changes happen this week, so I seriously doubt he's played enough game time to qualify for the position change in that one. But if you're in an AFL fantasy league, I think he's a very much a worthwhile pickup if you want a defender for your run home. Although he probably is value as a bench mid, maybe. We know the mids are going down like flies. Also in defence, Steve May, 68% ownership. He's been scoring quite well. Got your big ton on the weekend. A guy I've been really impressed with, and I picked him up a few weeks ago myself, and that's Kyle Langford for Essendon, 73% ownership. This is a forward. He's really developing. He's doing pretty nicely in the midfield for them. Absolutely worth a pickup. Our old mate Donuts, still 66% owned. Got you the 70s. Struck battle to the 70s. Wasn't really his sort of game on the weekend. They're playing St Kilda, I think. They're definitely going to be flat after that win today. Certainly, like, he's fine. He's fine. That's probably the Port. They've got so many guys who you want as being fantasy relevant. Still, Blake Hardwick as a defender, 62% owned. Liked his game on the weekend again. Trent Dumont, 73%. A bit of a link-up player for the Kangaroos. And lastly, Jared Berry for Brisbane, who is doing midfield tagging run-with style roles. 62% owned, but if you're in desperate need of midfield help, he is one to consider.
Yeah, certainly like the differences you've got there. And what have you got there, Cam?
Yeah, I only have the one to add, and it is someone who probably doesn't deserve to be listed, but I'll give it a whirl, Jade Gresham. I like the way he ran about it today. I thought he, you know, he plays this role that is basically like a run to half forward and then plays the link up to kick it back. He scored 87 today in fantasy, but that was helped significantly by three goals. So I'm not confident. He has a 47% ownership.
I actually don't mind it because the way the Saints played today, they got the ball in quick, and so I didn't have let Melbourne set up defensively, and he was able to just get on it and be that crumbing forward and kick a few snags. So if they're playing Port Adelaide, who play a pretty quick brand of footy as well, it might be worth a little stash on the bench this week.
I don't know, I wouldn't spend a priority on put it, I'll put it that way. He might just be a free agent pickup if you want to go that route.
That's how I'd list it as well.
But if you are enjoying the show, you will know that we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the 5-star rating button and do leave us a review. Like we have this week, we've got a couple of reviews this week, kicking it off from C-Buns 19988. He says, good stuff, good info, and fun to listen to. So thank you very much for C-Buns. But the next one is from Elliot Yep. He's given us the 1-star rating.
Woo!
We take anything. We take anything. But his comments was, would have given a higher rating if it wasn't for the host's voice. And the title was Boring Host. Well,
we know what your team names are next year.
Yes, Boring Host. But I am going for surgery next week to change the voice up, so I've been that depressed about it this week. But what do you think I should go for? Should I go for the Morgan Freeman, just
Gilbert Gottfried?
Just a nice, sexy Barry White sort of voice. I don't know. I'll have to do something.
See, I think you should go the absolute opposite and go an octave higher, and just get your adenoids out and just go like a full octave higher and be that mid-range between a male and a female. I think it would make it so very entertaining.
I think we can do that. That can be certainly be arranged. But thank you very much for the reviews, whether they are good or bad. We will certainly read them out, and we'll take, well, I don't know how I'm going to change my voice, but all constructive criticism on board. Moving on now to Steve, you've got your buy, sell, and hold article that drops each and every week, and you're just going to give us a bit of a tidbit of that this week.
Yeah, Jono, this week, I think if you're in need of a forward for your mighty push towards hopefully another fantasy premiership, Michael Walters is the player I'm trying to buy. Last two scores, well, today he was, you know, what did he do today? He was fine today, but yeah, I think his last two scores haven't been huge. So 73 in your fantasy. He scored 60-something the week, the match before, because I had to buy. But without Fife, he's playing through the midfield. 13 contested possessions today, 6 clearances. So I certainly like Michael Walters. His injury is actually, his average is buried a little bit, because he had a score where he only got about 11. He got injured at the start of a match earlier in the year, so his average actually looks worse than it really is, had he played a full match that time. So I think Michael Walters is a pretty handy buy if you need a forward. And I am selling a forward, and that is Jeremy Cameron, if you can get someone to buy it. Now, here's the trick: if you got Jeremy Cameron, if you're not in top spot, you're going to the guys who are locked into the finals, okay? You're telling them, hey, get Jeremy Cameron for the run home. He's not injured. He's just out. He'll still be fit. He'll still be firing. Thing is, he's still missing 4 matches. Now, he does have the Blues in round 20, but the 3 matches after that are the Crows, the Swans, and the Demons. They're not exactly great matchups for a Jeremy Cameron. I think he's a great time to sell, but it's really with that, go to the top of the tree and give him a bit of a deal, maybe do a 2-for-1 on Jeremy Cameron. So I certainly think he's sellable if you're playing all the way through, especially to around 22 or 23. Well, some people started their finals this week, John. Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Hey, I've in a salary cap format, I finished the grand final last week, so cop that.
In a what?
Off-brand, just for...
This is the worst host.
For shits, Elliot, and giggles.
We've got to get Elliot on Twitter and might be able to swap you out. It's his salary cap nonsense.
Shits and giggles. Game second. Because you play through buy rounds. Jesus Christ. But, yeah. I'm a
this
gentleman.
This will be happy.
There is no Statesman skippers this week. As we mentioned, the Statesman is in bed sick. But we do have Cam here with his injury report for the week. What have you got for us?
So that was a lot. Like, a lot, even leading into the week. We had, and one that I've been wanting to say on the pod for a while, but Lacroix! I just feel like it's a great name to say as a bird. But he is out for probably 4 to 6 weeks with a wrist. He's had a troublesome wrist injury for a while, and he had some surgery on it. So he was out pre-game this week. Connor Blakely, probably the biggest midweek madness of the week, suffered a knee injury at training, and he's gone for the season. So offload him and pick up someone off the waiver wire. Heendog, so he seemed to be a little bit lazy, and then I guess he just went and put a tracksuit on, but it turns out he had delayed concussion symptoms and missed the rest of the game. He should be back next week. A ripper from Reece Conker. It was kind of the opposite to what happened to Adam Treloar last week, in regards to Treloar thinking, you know what, I've just had a cramp in my hammy, everything's going to be fine. Turns out, basically dead for the season. And Reece Conker had what looked to be a severely broken ankle. Turns out, just dislocated. He'll be back in probably 3 to 4 weeks' time.
What's worse was that, was Channel 7 left the umpire's mics on, and you could hear him screaming in pain, like, not what I want to be hearing while I'm watching the football, like, just, I want to turn that one down a bit, but geez, ugh, horrible stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't a great look. So Matt Suckling was a laid out, again, with his Achilles, and I think that's probably going to affect him for the rest of the year. It's already affected him for a few weeks, so he'll probably go in and out of teams. And as we were saying earlier on, his replacement, Lin Jong, 8 minutes. And as you're saying, Jono, the guy just can't get a break, so his collarbone, well, he did get a break, he broke his collarbone, but he yeah, unfortunately is going to miss the next few matches, probably 4 to 6. To no one's surprise at all, Mason Wood is injured again. Just want to read you some stats here. Since he debuted in 2014, he's played 1, 7, 8, 10, and finally this year, 6 games.
And with Jared Waite, that's a whole season.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So just rubbish. And then finally, the last two, the worst, probably the least picked player in GoldenEye Nintendo 64, Aaron Sanderlands was a late withdrawal from with a calf complaint. So Jaws will probably miss 3 to 6 weeks with that one. He's got some had history with that calf. And finally, Fife, who almost lost me my league game. He womped a hammy early in the game, and he's due for scans tomorrow, but it doesn't look too good. It's a bit high up the leg. I'm thinking probably 3 to 5.
No, thank you very much for the injury report, and you can check all that out on the website when the full article drops on Monday. You can search the draftdoctors.com.au for that one. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors, as well as at stporter15, at statesman33, and at the Potato Bake. Search us on Facebook as well. That wraps up the show for this week. It's good to have the 9 games back. There's still a few more Thursday night games to come up, but should be some crackers, and good luck if you are playing in your finals, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.